Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at the Intergalactic Kurtz Studios. We altered your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves.
Synapses?
Or synapses.
Your co-synapses. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it?
It's a sign.
Yeah. It's a sign flood. Is it working, Jim Bam?
No, it's a sin flood.
It's working. It's working. It's a sin flood.
It's working all too well.
Yeah.
Bip. Can you feel it, Michael Dean? Can you feel it?
Bip caught me, baby.
Bip caught me. The Freedom Fiends is covered indeed by a Bipcot. No government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bipcop.org. Trigger warning. This is the Trigger Weens.
Yep. And gold is trading at $1,105 an ounce. Bitcoin is at $451. And there are absolutely no health updates for hashtag MWD colon tonight.
Wow.
And Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
I can smell him from here, but I think I smell Hillary's pantsuit coming up from behind.
Ooh. Ooh.
What does Bernie smell like? The old man, like yellow toenails or something?
Fire. He smells like fire. Feel the burn. Smell the burn.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, if you have GERD, you know, like acid reflux, is that feeling the burn?
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody's breathing for good. Yeah.
Some of us got our start in radio as obscene callers.
So we want to welcome some couple new affiliates in the Philadelphia area here tonight. One is WHIV at 89.1, the Throbbing Vein of Kensington, WHIV.
Nice. Welcome.
And then another one, the Spanish language station that plays the Freedom Fiends for some reason, and Hugo's show, WHPV 94.5. We don't know. Do they have a name? Are they the Throbbing Vein of something?
El Throbbing Vein. I think it's in Spanish.
Yeah.
El Throbbing Member.
Yeah.
So you might say that the Freedom Fiends has tested positive for WHIV.
Yeah, we have.
There you go.
That's really weird, man.
Hashtag.
All right. Yeah. What's up, guys? Elucidate me.
Man.
We talk about your health all the time. Have I ever told you about my problem with getting HIV test, Michael W. Dean?
No, but I would love to hear your organ recital about your health problems.
So,
go ahead.
I will only ever get an HIV test if I'm paid to. Because if you're in a high-risk group, sumosexuals included, for HIV, then very often people will give away things like movie tickets, or the most I've ever got was $20, but you'll get some sort of goodie to go get a test. I got a $10 McDonald's gift card one time. But they'll give things away in order for you to go get an HIV test.
Do you have to pay for the test, though?
No, they're always free.
Okay.
But they'll pay you to go in and get the test. And, yeah, so don't go get tested for free. That's a sucker's game. Make them give you something. And then, secondly, whenever the big miracle occurs and I test HIV negative, I always, always get in the test administrator's face like it's the Maury Povich show, and I was just proven to not be the father of her child. I'm all up in her face. That's right. That's right. What's up? What's up? Count those T-cells. Count those T-cells.
Yeah. And then you go down to McDonald's with your gift certificate, and it's like a really hip dating scene. You know, everybody's HIV free. Woohoo! You know.
Yep. And guess what? The McDoubles are on me, up to 10 of them.
Oh.
I think I probably picked up a chick at a public health clinic like you're talking about, probably before Steve was born. Definitely before HIV was an issue. Like, not 1986. I guess HIV was an issue, but not really. It was like nobody's getting tested yet. But, you know, I had, like, I don't know, something benign, like, you know, something that could be cured with antibiotics. And I remember in San Francisco sitting in there and, like, looking over at some girl like, hey, baby, come here often.
Well, you were in a high-risk group just by being in your band.
Yeah, right? I was in a band. And, even before I was an IV drug user, which I'm not anymore.
I heard there's an STD named Flipper.
Flipper. This is the band's named after them. Yeah.
The band's named after an STD. Yeah, that was a little inside baseball for those of you keeping score at home.
Yeah. So the Freedom Fiends are doing a special fundraiser. It's our equivalent of the AMP program. The first thing is we're having a contest to name it. We haven't named it yet, but basically it's only going to be for really absurd things that, like, well, not absurd things, things that seem absurd, that seem like they wouldn't be in keeping. Steve, I hear you breathing. Stop breathing for good. Things that
that's not me.
Yeah, and Steve needs to be a tiny bit quieter, and Babby needs to be a tiny bit louder. I listened on the feed. Okay, so we're going to raise money for, now if you want to, just send us a donation through the usual Fiends outlets, but you can like tag it. You can tag it as being for this special fundraiser. And it's basically, we should have like a, like, you know, send me an email and say like, tag your it or something like that for this thing. And it's basically to, one of the things we're thinking of is to like things that a radio station, a radio show normally wouldn't do because it wouldn't increase their financial value or their ad sale value at all, because we give away our ad space anyway. So the one thing we're thinking of is for these two new stations in Philly, they're in neighborhoods with a lot of homeless people and at risk young adults, and
they
just
need whiskey.
Also,
ne'er-do-wells. So they need whiskey, on the and street. They need it fast.
Like, no, so we're gonna buy these little like 99-cent FM radio receivers, and epoxy them to the stations, and
oh,
then
I thought
hand
you were gonna
them.
Epoxy them to the homeless people. I was gonna
no, well we could we
that.
Could get a we I, could no, get a, like a $1 bottle of nitrate and like give it as a unit, like here, have this booze and listen to this or something like that. But
maybe we could combine this with a hoodie the homeless style activism, where we like give away sweatshirts that actually have like speakers built in speakers that play Freedom Fiends wherever somebody goes wearing this special hoodie.
This is my like problem it. With activists is that when they're not busy telling you that cops are going to shoot you for wearing a hoodie, they're busy giving homeless people hoodies.
And they're bright. And well, and the Bitcoin Not Bombs hoodies, which they gave out.
You can see them a mile away.
Things. Yeah. And yeah, it's like you're an easy target at that point. Like I think we should give something that's a little bit more discreet, allows for, you know, to blend in when needed.
Camo. Yeah. Urban camo.
Urban
what
camo.
What would urban camo be? I mean, it's weird when people wear camo in an urban environment because it's like there's nothing that color they're blending in with. What would be it's like the dirt. Color of vomit and dirt?
Dirt.
And
it's just dirt.
Blood.
Pavement.
Guns. Yeah.
Guns and weed.
The color of guns and weed. Yeah. It'd
be guns like and gun weed, the camo to freedom.
Green. So, that throbbing vein of Kensington. What is Kensington like? You live there, right?
I do. I live not too far. I mean,
it's a frontier town that you've had them out west.
Station comes
in
great at my house if you ever want to come visit. Yeah.
It's on the border between, you know, between civilization and
Jersey.
Jersey, yeah.
Here's the thing. It's very difficult for the activists in my town to get a lot of people's support for ending the drug war because it's very difficult to see that there's a drug war going on because the entire place is basically an open-air drug market. And you get woken up at 6 a.m. by the dope dealers who want to get that they want to get in on that good 5 a.m. like functional user
early
money.
Bird gets the worm.
Yeah. That goes
the
out
guy driving to the office. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
It's going to be a tough day at the office. Better stop in Kensington at 5 a.m. Yeah, he picks up his smack, then goes to the gym, you know, shoots up in the bathroom, goes to the board meeting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hopefully,
you know, I've actually heard people say that. I've heard people say that legalizing drugs is racist because it's putting like minority dealers out of business in a lot of places, pot dealers.
That's a real strong argument there. Yeah, I think the drug war is racist. Don't mention those 2 million black people in cages at the moment, however.
Yeah.
Can't win.
89.1, the throbbing vein of Kensington. We have our finger on the throbbing vein in Kensington. You know, I used to date the one model I dated back in the day, and I only dated her for a minute. It was like basically my band got signed to Warner Brothers, and then this girl walked up to me and said, like, I'm going to be your girlfriend. And she was a model. And she was basically dating me because I got signed to a major label. And then, you know, about four months later, she realized that we weren't going to be superstars, and she dropped me. But, you know, I went overnight literally from, like, showing up at my band's practice space on my messenger bike to, like, being driven by a model in a Mercedes-Benz. And this chick was a social climbing ladder lady. And after she dated me...
She had to find a bottom rung somewhere.
Yeah, she had to find a bottle. Like after, you know, after me, she dated, I don't know, like somebody in Primus, and then dated somebody in the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and then dated like the publisher of Spin magazine, you know, who was like 50, and she was like,
now she's 20. Now she's like 21 in Branson, Missouri.
Dating a dating Yakov Smirnoff. That's funny, man. In Soviet whoredom, the girl dates you. No, I don't know what the joke would be, but yeah. But she, I remember there was an interview like right after he started dating her. You know, Gucciani Jr. started dating her. He was interviewed like how do you keep your finger on the pulse of what the youth are doing. And he said, by sleeping with one of them. I thought that was really crass. And it was her, but yeah, she's like a homeless bag lady now, grinding her rotting teeth in alleys. I win. So, and she also sued him. Like she wrote an article for Spin magazine about how HIV doesn't cause AIDS. She was one of those. And Spin was like pushing that whole crap.
That was anti-vax before anti-vax.
Yeah, and then she ended up suing him. Like, you know, she's one of those people who like, I'll work for you, and then when it doesn't work out, I'll try to ruin your business and take it over, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's watch a winner. Out for those.
Branson. Dating Yakov Smirnoff. That's funny.
Maybe she's dating Ray Stevens.
Who's that?
Ray Stevens was he made these country? Silly songs. Yeah, he was a country like humor
Convoy?
Singer. Yeah.
Did he do country Convoy? Singer.
No, he did the Mississippi Square Revival. What else? I was a huge fan of Ray Stevens when I was like 12. And then his latest, he wrote a Tea Party classic.
He wrote The Streak.
Yeah, he wrote The Streak.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he did one called You Vote Obamacare, We Vote You Out of There. And that was when I was done with Ray Stevens. Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, didn't Hank Williams II become like a pundit on Fox News for a minute?
I'm going to see him in June. He's coming to a music festival I'm going to. Yeah.
Oh, he's where you work?
Big Barrel. No, he's going to a country festival that I'm going to sell bolo ties at.
Nice. Oh, you're on the bolo circuit. What do you do when Obama requires like red background checks for bolos? You're going to be out of business, man.
We need common sense bolo control.
You should go sell those at gun shows. Seriously, that's where you'd make the most money.
I'm a huge player in the bolo industry.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Freedom Fiends.
So what's Trenton, New Jersey's municipal motto, guys?
Trenton makes. The world takes.
Yep.
And that's on a bridge when you're entering it?
Indeed. That is one of the... That is one message that is unmistakable to the layperson driving into Trenton, New Jersey. It's on the main bridge that you see walking to town. And it's kind
then
of a
you're,
pretty
then
town.
That's
it's
right before your heart starts racing and you grab your wallet and you lock your doors because you have entered the occupied territory known as Jersey.
Well, not me because I'm from here, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I was conceived in Jersey.
Wow. That could explain some things.
I know.
Which car?
Which
exit?
That's just someone asked my dad when he said that once. Yeah.
There's so many more. There's much better jokes about
Trenton. Jersey. Trenton makes the world takes. Sounds. I mean, it's because they used to be a manufacturing hub, which they're not anymore. But it really sounds to me like they have a martyr complex. It sounds like hand stapled to forehead. Like, oh, I'm Trenton. I do so much for you, and what do you do in return?
You think these armed robberies do themselves?
Yeah. It's a sad place. You either there's like basically there's two kinds of people. There's the givers of the system and the receivers of the system.
The muggers
and
the muggies.
So such a classed town. And it's just all government buildings or just you know welfare
jails.
Projects. It's sad.
Government buildings cops. And welfare projects and cops. Yeah,
it's just horrible.
And also you know make is also like. Slang for going to the bathroom. So Trenton makes and the world takes. I guess it still works. with that interpretation.
Yeah. Well, actually, people bring their garbage to Jersey for their landfill, so it's kind of the opposite. So,
wasn't the Toxic Avenger from Jersey?
Could be.
You know that that movie?
Surprised me. I remember we rented it when I was a kid, and then my parents turned it off like 8 minutes in because they were like, "Nah,
it's horrible. It's funny. It's so bad. It's good. I mean, anything from that film company." What is it? Trauma. Trauma films.
Speaking of both Trenton and So Bad It's Good, James, you had a missive from the Trentonian, did you not?
Well, Jeff Edelstein, who I happen to be Facebook associates or friends with.
Friends.
And anyway, he wrote this article called "Let's Ban the Sale of Cigarettes in New Jersey."
Okay.
And he says, New Jersey should ban the sale of cigarettes. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'll probably keep saying it until a legislator has the stones to actually float the bill. I'm bringing this up now because the state legislator is inching closer to passing a law making 21 the new smoking age in New Jersey. As I've already made clear, that's not going far enough. So Jersey's enough for this guy. Okay?
You know what he's like, really, yeah, and you know what he's really saying, which is really saying Jersey's not Jersey enough, is he's saying, we need more mafia here. We need more over-the-road robberies of cigarette trucks and black market here.
Right. Well, I told him, I said, you know, my comment on his article was something like, you know, yeah, that's the problem with Jersey. There's just not enough stuff that's illegal, you know? people take this seriously, especially in Jersey. They'll ban something. They don't care whose lives are destroyed. And I mean, imagine all the struggling small businesses, the convenience stores, the mom and pop shops
that make 30% of their money from cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah. Like suddenly all these people are going to be out of business, but I told him, I said, don't worry, they can get those jobs as mandatory gas pump operators that Jersey requires.
Yeah.
So, you know, they ruin some jobs, but they make work. See, you can just pump gas. We've made that the law, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jersey, not Jersey enough for Jeff Edelstein. And it's just sad. Like, I mean, it's like how much abuse can you take before you stop asking for more? I just don't understand the mentality.
How long before tobacco is illegal as well? I know somebody who went to Amsterdam and they said that they were almost arrested by an undercover cop posing as a prostitute for smoking cigarettes while people were like doing acid 10 feet away.
Yeah. Buying heroin legally.
Yeah.
But the important thing is that somebody's getting prosecuted for something, right? And the system works. Oh.
Well, the prosecutors need a job to do. Like, they can't just not do anything.
I think
the prosecutor's going to prosecute.
The problem
and become freedom fiends. That's what they can do.
A lot of citizens, left and right, especially left, no, left and right, a big problem is, a lot of them don't realize that, like, adding a law doesn't make something go away, often does the opposite, and definitely makes things worse for honest people whenever you do it.
But this reporter, Jeff, is not a child. He's not a child. How could he this is a grown man that actually thinks that this is a great idea for New Jersey to be more of a parent for these little
lawmakers
baby gotta
make laws,
children.
If lawmakers don't make laws, they're not doing their job, people think.
Fill my trunk with $20 packs. They're $50 a pack in New Jersey.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Miller lives with a girl. That is so gay.
Yep. So, getting that card. So, I had an experience today here in the very city of brotherly love that I would like to speak about to all of the fiendom. I was riding a bike, you know, doing my thing. It was kind of a warm day today, so I was out in just a hoodie. And we have these rental bikes where you, like, wave this little key fob from your keychain, and it gives you a bike for up to an hour, and then you put it back at various points throughout the city. So I go, I get a bike. And if you've been to Philadelphia, you've seen that the streets are, they have, most of them have a bike lane. Because they were originally built for two lanes of carriages, which isn't wide enough for two lanes of car traffic. It's wide enough for about a lane and a half. And on most of those places, they've built these bike lanes. So I have one of these rental bikes that are all over the city. And I put my crap in it, and I'm riding around town. And Philadelphia drivers are not known for being the most, like, reasonable, charitable people on the planet.
Yo, it's Philly, yo. Come on.
Yo. And there was somebody who, I don't know if they were having a bad day at 10:45 in the morning on a Sunday, but they didn't leave much space, like, in the bike. They were, like, over in the bike lane. And the rental bikes have this little bell. And I rang my bell once. Ring! Like, one little thing, like that, as if
this
to say,
infuriates him. This triggers road rage.
Give me a little space. And this triggers a massive road rage incident. And
he
this
starts
guy
chucking
says,
batteries at you? Or what, is, you know, what does he do?
He didn't throw anything, but he yells, "Oh, yeah? You think you're so effing great just because you have a bike lane? Well, I got news for you. You're not." And then he drove away.
Dang! Nailed
which
you!
Which raised you. So many questions. And I asked him to say it again so that I could get it video recorded, and he didn't like that idea.
Oh, man. That's why you got to just always record. You should just always be live streaming, I think.
Well, yeah, because I'm the psycho whisperer. Every nutcase in this town, like, feels free to talk. But how do you know that I base my entire self-esteem on the fact that there's bike lanes? And, like, what a
weird... How did he know that? How did he know how much it means to you? And how much better that you think you are compared to people in cars?
The first time you met me, James Babb, you said, "Hi, I'm James Babb." And I said, "Hi, I'm Steve. And I think I'm so great because the roads have a bike lane."
Well, you didn't have to say it. You just radiated this sort of
that
arrogant confidence of, like, wow, he's got his own bike lane, kind of, like, just glow about you. Yeah.
Steve Miller entered the room with a chest puffed out with the self-assured gait of a man whose city had bike lanes on the road.
Oh, God.
Personally,
I think you're risking your life riding a bike around that town. It's like, you know, I kind of look at bikes the same way I look at, like, those, like, horse and buggies. Like, come on, guys. It's 2016 now.
Oh, you are not going to pull a current year argument with me. You know how much I hate that. It's the current year.
Yeah, but you don't think it's relevant when we're talking about horse and buggies?
You brought it up, horse and buggies. You're doing the same self-referential thing that the guy who wanted to ban cigarettes did.
I said it in 2015, and I'll say it in it's 2016. No,
I said it in the current year.
I support you know, the bikers. I want them to have as much access to the city as possible, but...
You support the bikers, but do you do the Philadelphia naked bike ride? Because I do.
I do not have the courage that you do, you know, nor the...
I don't know if courage would be what you would classify that as, but okay.
I sent you a video. We can get into the show notes for people that are intrigued by Steve Miller's nude biking.
So, okay, I'll tell you what happened to the video. What happened in the video is this. So, visual humor for the radio. So
it's called Silly Cops Meet Steve Miller's Dictaphone.
Indeed. Yeah. So the cops pull their car into the middle of an intersection, stop it, take out their phone while the car is still running,
take a selfie with it.
This lady cop starts taking this video of all the people that
you're not
passing.
The only naked bike rider. There's, like, thousands of
thousands,
here, hundreds,
yeah, thousands
at least.
Yeah, 3,000 estimated for that year. It was about 4,000 this year.
Now, is this one of these towns where it's legal to be naked, like New York City, or not, or topless, or not?
For this day, it is. There's a special exemption made by the king. Anyway, she's filming all this, and I'm like, they would never allow anybody that was not in a special cop car to do that. Like, if you were just a guy in a Mercury Grand Marquis, you couldn't roll on up to the intersection, idle your car, and then take a video of people's hoo-has as they're riding.
Sure, you could. Oh, you definitely could.
Well, I commented on this
video. Not with that many cops around.
If we're doing YouTube on the radio, I commented on this video, worms, but that's not a comment on what I'm looking at with you.
Thank you. Thank you for upgrading it to garter snake. So what I did was I walked in front of this cop's camera, her phone that she was taking video with, and I yelled, get this one, make sure you get this one, and pointed to my Wang, which is portrayed in
your Wang computer, your Wang brand computer.
This is right around the time we started hearing about the war on cops. It was just coincidentally.
That was the first cannon that was fired.
I think Steve,
the war on cops.
I think Steve Naked is a threat to cops in Philly.
No, they take selfies with him. But you know, this is they want to share this with their buddies. We're not sure if this is the same policewoman who earlier that year had crushed a young man's testicles.
That was later. That happened after that.
Well, they used to like to take selfies. Cops used to like to take selfies with Ice Cube when his or Ice T when his Cop Killer record was making the hits, and the FBI was warning Warner Brothers not to. To put it out, or they're saying they're going to boycott it, but still, there's a lot of selfies.
Sounds like a marvelous PR campaign.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Now you say you're going to boycott it. Now you get mad over there. Now deploy the outrage units. Okay.
Well, that's part of why I got kicked off of Warner Brothers, because we got signed about the same time on the same label, and Warner Brothers was getting bomb threats, and we were in a band called Bomb. It was a bad time to be on Warner Brothers.
Man.
Yeah.
Guess you really bombed that one. Boom.
Yeah.
I was at a comedy career called Bomb.
Yeah. There's a lot of things called Bomb, but we were first in 1986.
Yeah.
So, cops, YouTube on the internet. We're doing it here.
All right.
Yeah, that was it. I showed my Wang. And then as I walk off the video, I say, Blue Mass, the Vatican allowed that. Because the day of the Philly Naked Bike Ride, there was a mass held by, like, the local archdiocese where a goodly percentage of the Philadelphia cops, I want to say like up to 40%, went and pledged their allegiance to the Vatican above any civil authority, which, I mean, whatever. Mm. Like, if you were to ask half the cops, like, which civil authority do you serve? They'd be like, civil a who?
Who was it that asked the Pope, like, you know, how many legions does he have, right? Well, it turns out he's been recruiting ever since then.
So. We are legion demons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so that was the thing. So I say the Blue Bass, the Vatican allowed that. And then
I think they should have done an extra bike ride during the Pope's visit in Philly.
Now,
really give him the true Philly experience. And they should have done like a horribly racist mummers show for him, too. Like, really give him the true Philly.
Have we talked
about.
Make
him eat some horrible cheesesteak, too.
Have we talked about my friend's band, MDC? Playing on the roof of their house while the Pope was across the street at Mission Dolores in San Francisco in the 80s?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Just go refer to, you know, whatever episode that is.
Refer to
which Pope was that?
We're doing footnotes on the radio, too, apparently.
Is that one of the Nazi popes or one of the...
They've all been Nazi in my lifetime, haven't they?
This is the Polish Pope.
People kind of liked him, right? He wasn't like a constant like warmonger, or wasn't like reciting Bernie Sanders talking points, or maybe he was. I don't know.
He was especially peaceful if you had a history of pederasty.
Into forgiveness and turning the other cheek, so to speak.
Didn't a Catholic church in the city of Boston get it changed? So I think they did. I saw this on Law and Order tonight, actually. So
it must be true.
If a child is molested, the statute of limitations is up as soon as the child or the accused leave the city. Isn't that bizarre for a church to do that?
Oh, weird.
So they can. So it's an escape route for the priest.
Yeah, yeah. They go to Jersey.
Not for cigarettes, they don't.
Man, Steve Miller Miller's on the internet a lot. I'm looking at a lot of it. Steve Miller Miller performs at the Raven Lounge. You got to put it in quotes, though, or you get some old hippie band.
Hey, if they do make cigarettes illegal to sell in Jersey, imagine the black market opportunities we can get into.
Yeah, oh, I think you should stockpile them now. Although
you know what we could do?
Forever.
We could get those. Have you ever seen those tourist amphibious duck boats they have?
Yeah.
It's like a amphibious landing craft from World War II or something converted into a tourist thing. We could load those up with cigarettes, sneak them into Camden at night, and make a fortune on illegal cigarette sales.
Yo, Michael, can we title this episode Guns and Tobacco, The Road to Trenton?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, great.
I'll tell the editor.
Well, we could be inspired. Trenton isn't far from where George Washington snuck across the river, like on a Christmas Eve, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Guns and cigarettes, The Road to Trenton, right?
Yes.
The tradition is you wait till the government employees are all passed out drunk from their party. Then, you know, traditionally they sneak across the river and they get their, you know, and slit their throats. So this is it's a tradition.
We're not recommending that.
Started. What's that?
Well,
we're not recommending.
I mean,
that.
When in Rome.
No, you know, but it's something George Washington did, and you know, it's kind of a, and it's not exactly a tradition, but.
He was the father of our country. Blame it on a genetic disorder.
You know, the thing is, I always do disclaimers to make sure, you know, the people listening know that, you know, in my town, the FBI office is like a half block away from the radio station that plays us here. Like the FBI guys park their cars in front of the giant satellite dish that receives this anti-government show. They must be aware of us. They must listen. So I don't know. But I always make it clear that we're not advocating killing anybody.
Of course
the
not.
Thing is,
right.
People are puss cats.
We make fun of George Washington for that kind of stuff.
Nobody kills anybody when you tell them to. You know, every talk radio host has been doing dog whistles forever, and nobody ever takes them up on it. So it's a moot point. We don't do it, though.
We can't get people to buy buttons.
I sell a couple button orders a week, and I give away a couple to people that deserve them a week. So, yeah, that's why I break even. So, do you need more buttons? You have some button activism to talk about, speaking of Philly stuff.
I call it button philanthropy. I never call anything I do activism, because activism is the opposite of comedy.
I put them on toll booth operators
activism.
As I go
and
through. I just pin them with a...
I'm an activist,
my worms
and that's not funny.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
WHIV 89.1, the throbbing vein of Kensington in Philly and Jersey.
Head on. That is so awesome that we have multiple stations in Philly.
I know.
Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to the Liberty Bell right now and you stand right at that crack and really nestle yourself right in that crack and you turn on a radio, right at the crack of the Liberty Bell, you will hear the echoing sound.
Here's what I think we should do. I think we should have a fundraiser to get those 99-cent FM receivers and epoxy them to the station, and then have
Put one in the Liberty Bell, so it seeps out of the crack, and nobody knows where it's coming from.
I like that. And then also have Steve go and dress up in a suit and pretend to be a docent for, like, the city and hand out, well, not even for the city, like, don't fraud, just, you know, I'm the docent, and I'm handing out these, you know, we have an educational recording if you'd like to hear it, and you can take these home and keep it, and hand out the little receivers to the crowds of people standing around the Liberty Bell.
Yeah, no, we're also, we should do that at all kinds of monuments all over the country, like replace their official audio guide with the special Freedom Fiends version that might be a little more entertaining, a little more informative.
We could do it places we're not on the radio, too, if we get little MP3 players. Those are pretty cheap now, too. What's But radio receivers are cheaper. Like, you can get them for less than a dollar, even not in bulk. I've seen them with the 99 cent
store. Didn't you say we're on, there's a station near Mount Rushmore?
South Dakota, yeah.
Okay, yep. That has the Fiends on?
Yeah,
right?
so we can have it there.
Imagine instead of, like, okay, you could take the usual guide and you can hear all the boring details, or you could hear, like, Ben Stone tell you a story about each president
and why, like, they were
why they're cocks. A monster and why this mountain should be cleansed of their horrible images.
I know.
Don't cock too hard.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else is a good mountain that somebody...
Well, okay, we're on
up.
In Amarillo. Isn't that where the Texas... Isn't that where the... No, that's not where the Alamo is. Alamo's in San Antonio.
Amarillo by morning.
Oh, we're on in Sundance, Wyoming. So we could be received at Devil's Tower. That's a tourist destination.
From Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah, they built it for that. That's what it... Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's very realistic.
Yep. We're on in Durango, Colorado.
Is that a butte?
Yeah, yes, it is a beauty. So the Durango, Colorado, they have that, like, Silverton train, that little beautiful train that goes through the wilderness that people take. What else we got?
In Washington, D.C., they have the fiat currency train.
Yeah.
little funny. Monetary joke for you.
Oh, we're on in Salt Lake City, Utah, the temple. People go there. Let's see. Nice. Woodstock, Virginia. I don't think anything's there. Sarasota, Florida. I don't know. What's that?
We're on in your iPod for those of us listening to the podcast right now.
Yeah.
Shouts to you. That's how
one of my favorite
world
ones.
In the Fiendiverse.
One of the ones I really like is Grand Forks, North Dakota. And
Grand Forks.
We're on there right now live, but Sunday nights, Monday mornings, we're on there for 4 hours. So they play this show live, and then they play 2 more hours of us, like midnight to 4 a.m. North Dakota time. It's pretty cool.
And you've noticed that, like, all the economic indicators for North Dakota have been outstanding, right? Yeah. Like, coincidence? I don't know.
Here's what I say. There. We used to be on in the Bakken oil fields, like where the heart of that is. You know, like that town where, like, they pay you $27 an hour to work at McDonald's because it's the only way to get people to work there. But that place is economically failing now. They took the Fiends off like a year ago. So I think the Fiends being off the radio there caused the dip in the crash of the price of oil.
Look what happened to Grand Forks. They don't call that place Mediocre Spoons, North Dakota. No, it's Grand Forks.
It's Grand Forks. Yep. Yeah. It's doing great, man, because of us. Yeah, we should petition local governments and offer the theory that if you have our show on in your town, your economy will
and
boom.
And also, if you want to rename your town Freedom Fiends, that would be great too. If you want to, like, you know,
yeah, like
you
like, Truth or Consequences.
Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. Yeah. You know, that was they named it after the show. It's like, whoever will let us will name your town after our stupid show, we'll do our first show from there. And I don't even think that show still exists anymore. But
and when they get an MRAP, we get to drive it.
Yeah. The Fiendmobile.
Freedom Fiends, North Carolina, we're coming to you.
All right. I'm not going to be around for the second hour, but you are going to cover button technology, right?
Yeah, we'll cover button tech.
Yeah.
Yep. Worms.
Worms. Thanks, guys, for your cervix.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have worms. A cervix that I know of.
I said service. You have a filthy mind. Filthy reproducting mind.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I'm Jim Babb, and I'm with Steve Miller Miller. Are you there, Steve?
I am here, and I have a fat stack of dank memes.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
You are our tactical meme specialist.
Yeah, we have an Ask a Sumo Sexual question that we would like to go over here. So for those of you who don't know, when James Babb and I go on the air together, we like to give back to the community in the form of advice. And we have two separate segments. Dear Babby, which is a play on Dear Abby, where you ask James questions. And then there's one for me called Ask a Sumo Sexual. And
loosely based on hints from Heloise, but right?
Yeah. Okay. And somebody wrote in with a very good question to ask a sumo sexual this week, and that was, Dear Steve, dear sumo sexual, has the Gadsden flag meme jumped the shark? Very, very good question. So for those of you who don't know, the Gadsden flag is the yellow don't tread on me flag. And this meme has been made repeatedly, and it has been parodied to the hilt. And at this point, I'm going to say that, yeah, it's kind of jumped the shark. I blame
Jim Jesus for a lot of that.
I don't know. He was kind of an early adapter. I think people took similar ideas to Jim's and ran into the ground with them, particularly with the snake being tread on. Okay.
And so, references to snacks have been recently very popular.
Yeah, and okay, to be fair, full disclosure, my profile picture on Facebook is still, please send snacks, that Gadsden flag. I'm not saying that I'm not in on this, but maybe it's the shark.
It's inevitable, even the best, right? The Gadsden flag, whatever meaning it started out with, most interesting, let's face it, it's gone.
Yeah.
Memes reach a
saturation point. It's exactly. Market. It's like anything else.
Yeah, I think the Gadsden flag meme was, was starting to get old around like 1790, somewhere around
there was one that was extremely popular with the kids these days, and it was, "Oh no, I've tread too much," which is a take on the REM song "Losing My Religion." Oh no, I've said too much. But my issue with that meme is that they should have given the snake a Michael Stipe head to kind of give people a little boost in figuring out what it is. Because at first glance, "Oh no, I've tread too much," is not like it requires quite a bit of foreknowledge. And I would say that that's a little obscure. I mean, that song came out 25 years ago now. That's expecting a little much, but I think that makes people love it more when people do get that meme. But I'm not a fan of memes that like pigeonhole like that. I think that's playing small ball. I think that that should be one element of a larger meme.
What about the ones who I don't want to say liberal starts with a D.
Occupy Democrats.
Yeah, there's a certain character which turns out I think is actually a dude, but is a portrayal of a liberal female that's completely, that's like wants to ban guns, thinks guns should be illegal. Yeah.
I think that's called College Liberal. I think on Meme Factory the name of that is College Liberal.
Okay.
Yeah.
But she kind of replaced Janine Garofalo, if I recall.
Janine Garofalo was liberal D-bag.
Yeah.
And that was, well, see, I'm just taking it as a given that what Meme Factory calls these is the official name of what the meme template is called. And I don't know. I think that's kind of a fair barometer.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
Yeah. So that one's kind of reached saturation point. But these things have a life cycle. It's almost like a half-life kind of, because you can come back and you could reuse them later, but they've kind of like just reached their peak at a given point. And Gadsden's kind of at that right now.
What do you think if we added, what if we put something in with our, we can't call it the AMP program, but the yet to be named Fiend Support Club. At a certain level, you, if you'd be willing to, could possibly do a custom meme for somebody, a custom tactical meme for somebody? I don't know. It'd have to be a pretty good, you know, pretty high level of support. But would you be willing to customize tactical memes for the donor's use? It could be in business. It could be for social purposes.
Personal
it
life.
Could be anything.
I helped somebody meme their kids recently, and that was fine.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. But it's like, wants to stay up until 9, can't remember to feed the dog. And I'm like, like, show this to your kid and be like, here, here's the problem with you. Boom. And then see that.
Wow, I never thought about memeing my kids.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, try it. My niece and nephew hate getting memed because, like, they think their parents don't know about it. I mean, my mom thought a meme was a food. She was like, you know, what's a recipe for a meme? And I'm like, excuse me? She goes, yeah, well, you know, you said you make them at work and you people always describe them as spicy. So how do I make a meme? Like, what ingredients do I need? I'm like, oh, mama. Yeah, bless you. Bless your heart.
Yeah. And I think memeing your kids, I think that fits within peaceful parenting, right? I think if you, you do it in the spirit of love and you know, voluntary interaction, right? Like there's no violence or coercion there, right?
Man, my parents never hit me, but they hit me with some tank memes.
Right. Maybe in the future, like the next you know how like now people say, yeah, you know, it's like, sure, like our parents hit us a lot, but now we kind of know better and we don't hit our kids, you know, like
see,
society moves forward.
Like,
the next generation will be like, what? Your parents memed you? They were so abusive.
You need to defoo. Yeah, that's the thing. You're gonna inadvertently help out Stefan Molyneux because he's gonna like get a whole generation of kids to believe that like because their parents memed them that was violence and they're the worst parents of the
world. But I think it's just really part of good parenting because we have to prepare the next generation for the upcoming war. The great meme war is upon us. We didn't ask for it, but it's upon us, and we're either gonna prepare our children to survive it, or they will be overwhelmed by it.
We didn't land on Meme Rock. Meme Rock landed on us.
You know, yeah, we didn't start the great meme war, but
we didn't start the meme war. I don't always go to meme war, but when I do, I go to war with memes.
Have we, who was it? Wasn't there somebody, a prominent person, one of the prominent candidates or something suggested that, I don't know, just made a change in their tactical meme strategies or was going to hire a tactical meme expert?
Somebody hired a tactical meme expert. I don't remember exactly which candidate it was either. But one thing that's gaining traction, and I pray to Ancapistan God every night that this happens, is that they're saying that in the presidential debates in 2016, they might start making the candidates respond to memes, just like they made them respond to YouTube videos.
Oh, it's inevitable.
They're just going to throw up a meme on the screen. And, oh, man.
They have to respond in meme form in less than 15 seconds. Okay.
Yeah. No AIDS or anything. They're going to give you a pre-approved cell phone that just has Meme Factory and 70 images pre-uploaded. And you're gonna have 90 seconds, and that's what you have to do. But I hope they start talking to the candidates like the candidates are memes. I hope that the moderator of one debate is like, okay, Senator Sanders, how do you be when your girl want to go to the club but you too high? How do you be like?
Yeah, I think this could be, because they're struggling to keep people interested, right? I mean, don't we see that all the time? Voting, you know, every year there's less and less people voting. So we're you know, we get things get better and better. Hardly anybody cares. They need to spice it up. Maybe, you know what? Somebody was like, man, that debate was dank, right? No, they're not saying that.
No one ever says that. Until, right. See, and that's part of the thing, that's part of the reason that people like Trump is because, like, he made things interesting comparatively interesting. Like, calling that interesting would be, you know. It's like an
too many of the Trump
baseball
memes are hair based, and I think those really take away.
No, they're so
from lame. From the power. You know what? That could be some deep inside, like counter meming, right? Where you flood, okay. Like, right? See, like if you Google, like, for instance, if you Google Trump memes, you're going to get a bunch of hair memes. That displaces all the ones about what a Nazi is, what a fascist, what a xenophobe, what a horrible, nasty, bigoted, insane, socialist man he is, right? So maybe that's a new meme tactic that you should consider for your... for the portfolio of your consulting company, where you're sort of a controlled opposition memeing, right? Where you saturate your opposition's meme space with your own less dank memes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Occupy Democrats already exists. So if you need somebody to make low quality liberal memes, somebody's already got that job, and it's Occupy Democrats, and their memes are such utter trash so there's a Lulbert, not to be self-referential, but Jim Jesus and I did a Lulbert's episode where we kind of discussed this in depth, and Occupy Democrats is absolute trash, and we did an exhaustive search for like liberal memes that were even halfway dank, and like obviously, it's not going to be things that you're going to agree with, but I'm not really looking like to be convinced by a meme. Like, intelligent people aren't like drawn like to entire new philosophies on the basis of one meme.
I don't know.
But unintelligent people are, and that's why memes are great.
Right. Okay.
Are
you saying that meme of I like the one that's an animated GIF of Ron Paul, and he's going, "It's happening." Like, are you telling me that hasn't changed the world?
It has. The state ended.
We at least ended the Fed or something.
Yeah, it's happening. Yeah. So.
Hey, did you know I have been invited to speak at a candidates forum?
Are you representing nobody again like you were last time?
I am. This is the same organizer where they had, last time I did this, they had like representatives from different presidential campaigns of all the kid table parties, Libertarian, Constitution Party, Green Party, one of the
Natural
numerous
law
socialist reform parties. Anyway, and it was really fun. It was really fun. And I just said, hey, I'm not here to represent a candidate, but there's an important campaign I've come to talk to you about. It's the Vote for Nobody campaign. Check out who's on the list this time. The Prohibition Party. The Return to Christ Party.
Nice. This is going to be great. Go Nobody.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, "You didn't build that"? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Of Grand Forks, Steve Miller back here with James Babb, and we are joined by a special guest whose presidential candidacy James Babb will be representing at an upcoming forum, and that candidate is with us now, and that is Nobody. So James,
nobody is a candidate on the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah. Nobody is on the line here with me and James Babb.
Let me tell you something. This is going to be a fun thing because this guy, he's a good guy. He's like an old, old school Green Party guy, Bob Small out here. And, he's a really nice guy, and he's always invited libertarians and stuff to just, you know, to do different kinds of events with him. And, he's a solid guy, and they put on some really fun events, but it's always a kind of extreme liberal bent to it. So, but they're very into like the democratic process and stuff. So anyway, I'm looking at these other candidates that are on this thing, National Sovereignty Party. Okay. There's somebody representing the National Sovereignty Party. So I Googled it and I'm like, what is that? Like, and the only thing that came up is the National Sovereignty Party of Russia. I'm assuming it's an affiliate in Fayette County, Pennsylvania. I don't know. Have you ever heard of the National Sovereignty Party?
Well, I don't know. It sounds a little stormfrontery to me.
Exactly. And you, it's a nationalist. You know? It's at least if it's based on this one in Russia, it's nationalist. You know, gosh, who would ever think there's a market for some kind of like, I'm not saying that these guys are, you know, represent a racist viewpoint, but I don't know. With the rise of Trump and this kind of xenophobic rhetoric, it seems possible. That might be totally creepy.
They could be all right. Yeah. Any hoodle. Who else you got?
Freedom Party USA. That sounds nice, right? Right?
I mean, what a generic name, you know?
How about this one? The American Party. What the heck is that?
USA. USA.
But this one I'm looking forward to, the candidate from the Prohibition Party. The Prohibition Party, these guys haven't given up. They're like, oh, dang it.
Are you going to bring beer to this event? You're James Bev. Of course you're bringing beer to this event.
I should bring enough beer for everybody. Yeah, just like dragging a case and like, you know.
BYOB Presidential Forum.
Yeah, crack them open. Why not? But, you know, we don't actually know what they want to prohibit these days, right? For all we know, they've moved on to, like, we're against cryptocurrencies now. I don't know.
Here's the thing is you love small independent breweries. And what better thing to accompany small independent political parties than beer from these tiny little breweries, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a lot of these little breweries are a bunch of commies anyway. Like, I don't know what it is, but...
So you could support both these breweries and the Christ Return to Earth Party. Or wait, what was the name of the one?
It's not the Christ is going to return. It's the Return to Christ Party.
Oh,
we're having a party returning to Christ in party form. I don't know if it's a political party or like
an event.
Yeah, let's see. Return to Christ Party. Let's see. Should Christians? I just Googled it, and I'm getting headlines like, should Christians go to parties? What does the Bible say? These are the tough questions.
Where do they stand on the issues such as curfew? And dancing.
Yeah.
Are they pro or anti-dancing? That's one of my questions for the Christ Return. See, I keep calling them the Christ Return to Earth Party, and that's not the name of them. It's the Return to Christ Party.
Whatever.
But okay. And here's the thing: if you're gonna say you have a party, go have a website. Like it takes you 10 minutes to set up a website. So, like, what was it? It was the Nationalist Border Association. That wasn't the name of that.
The party. National Sovereignty Party.
The Nationalist Border Association. That's a trade group that builds Trump's walls.
It really makes me think of those people that like go to the like they like take their vacation time and go to Arizona desert to try to shoot Mexicans coming
the
in.
Border.
Yeah, they're just like horrible, horrible people.
And then when they're not shooting at the Mexicans, they're coming up to Pennsylvania to speak at forums against the guy representing nobody.
Because, well, you know, at least last time it was like Libertarian Party, Green Party, Constitution
Party. This thing sounds like it's rigged for nobody to win because, like, you're looking
nobody's
like the Harlem Globetrotters here with nobody. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
who else you got? So you got was that
okay?
Was
the
that
American the Party. List? I don't know what that is.
That's ungoogleable too. That's like being named, you know, John Jones or something like that. You know,
I don't know. But you know, and I don't mean Party. To. You know, I'm not here to insult these people. I'm looking forward to meeting them and to hearing what they have to say, and then only then insulting them if necessary.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
Vote American. No, vote Christ Return to Earth.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
In stereo. Live from Ancapistan.
Did we get to your question about Ask a Sumo Sexual? We had a question, didn't we?
Yeah, it was about the Gadsden flag. We totally addressed it.
Okay, good. All right.
In so, depth.
Yeah. Okay, good. We had another question. Do we have a question for Ask or Dear Babby?
Oh, yeah. No, we don't.
We do.
I was bluffing.
We do. No, we do. Yeah, I forward it to you. I will read it since. Wait,
hold on. Is my email not working? Hold on.
I don't know. Come on. It's in the show notes. We're so okay, professional.
All I have is David Bowie died. The new way police are surveilling you. And oh wait, here might it be. Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Oh man. This is thrilling radio, I know. Here are a few nuggets. Then you talk about New Jersey.
I'll read it. Dear Babby, last year, the local school board got another mine-resistant, ambush-protected armor vehicle, in parenthesis, MRAP. Should I be concerned? How can I defend against military vehicles? P.S. I only have $50. Okay. Wow. You know, and right. That's this is where we. This is That's where we heavy. Try to give back to the community. Should you be concerned about your school board's military armaments? Yeah, actually, you should. You know, this is not a paranoid listener. Perhaps this listener is in Los Angeles, where last year, I don't know if you remember the story, but the LA school board reluctantly agreed to return their grenade launchers, but as long as they could keep their rifles and their armored vehicle. Okay, so that's the school board.
The school police in Philadelphia, I can tell you from personal experience, do riot control in case the students all decide to revolt. And I have to tell you, during my entire time in the classroom, there was part of me that said, if the kids ever do go full prison riot in this school, I will totally be on their side.
Okay.
And I will show them means, and I will tell them what to fight for and what have
you. Well, your students your former students or current students may need this information. If it's anything like Los Angeles,
would be doing an actual prison riot because they're an actual jail.
Los Angeles, they ended up keeping 61 rifles and their mine-resistant, ambush-protected armor vehicle. Okay.
I did my student teaching in L.A.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
South Central.
Nice.
Yep.
So it gets that prepared you for Philly.
Well, there were a lot of gangs there, and there aren't gangs in Philadelphia because the criminals in Philadelphia are too lazy to organize.
Are the teachers members of gangs, or do they take sides in gangs? Are they do they have their own like colors?
Interesting thing that happened related to gangs in my classroom was that the kids would tag everything for certain gangs. Make this little graffiti tag on whatever.
And we're not talking a hashtag. That's like a spray paint tag.
This isn't. The hashtags are based on it. Yeah, but it's marking territory for, you know, whichever syndicate that you're representing.
Okay.
And
so the teachers put these on their chalkboards to let people know they're cool.
Exactly.
Or?
Okay. Somebody tagged my classroom chalk. The Gilt Gang, specifically, GILT, which is now the name of a fashion app, but back then it was the name of a gang. I think it stood for something. I don't know exactly what. But they tagged my classroom chalk, and it just made me laugh. I was like, was my chalk disputed gang territory? Did the Crips walk up to the Bloods and say, listen, man, who's going to be the first to get to Miller's Chalk, because one of us is going to have it. So you better claim it before we do. And then the guilt gang rolled in and they were like, haha, joke's on both of you. I'm getting all the right. Chalk.
So, you know, well, it's just a matter of just simple escalation before they're rolling in with tanks into the classroom, right?
Right.
Or what I was thinking more like the school board would be doing with these things is maybe enforcing their next tax increase would be something that, like, if people just say, you know, they get sick of these school boards draining them dry. Anyway, so this is this listener has some good questions, and I didn't really know how to respond to this. So I did a little research, and I found a link on the Facebook page for the National Liberation Militia group. You may remember them from last Halloween.
You may be debating them, but the candidates for them as well. Yeah.
Anyway, I came across an article on the anti-media, and this is called How to Disable an MRAP for Less Than $50. And I thought there's some good tips in here. Just so you know, I've never tried this personally. I don't have any experience with this. I'm not suggesting that people go out and attack military vehicles. But, you know, let's just say you're in a situation where, you know, the wrong people have stolen one, or maybe are using it against you. Okay, so here's a couple just quick tips from this article, and we'll put a link to this in the show notes. Okay, number one, stopping movement by obscuring vision. Okay, now this makes sense. So, you know, basically just obscure their vision. Put something on the windshield. They say any sticky liquid substance that can be pumped into water balloons or packed into glass containers will stop an MRAP. If the balloon bursts or the glass container breaks open on the windows, the driver's forced to stop and clear the windows. Okay, it makes sense. Here's some examples. A combination of syrup, milk, and sugar.
Warning. You got recipes.
Yeah,
you
see, warning, don't leave around diabetics. Right? Yeah. Okay, combination two, heavyweight motor oil, lighter fluid, and aluminum or magnesium flakes. Warning, extremely flammable. I don't know why you would want it flammable to just obscure their vision. Combination three, Elmer's glue and glitter.
Love it.
Yeah.
Especially give it the arts and crafts.
Like Rick Santorum is driving the tank against you.
So, how do you get that to burst? I guess it would burst in a water balloon, but not, that's not easy.
Yeah, yeah. Now that's, well, you know, but let's face it, it's you know, it might do some good. Now here's some interesting stuff that I didn't think about. Stopping movement by stopping the engine. Okay. It says most modern armored vehicles have air intakes for the engine that are armored and have multiple grates to protect the engine from rifle fire. This presents a unique method of stopping the vehicle, clogging the air intake. Safest method is using a spray foam insulation, which can be sprayed at the vehicle from a relatively safe distance. Without air, the engine will cease or overheat. So that's not bad.
Yeah. If you take down that engine, that's how many millions of dollars worth of damage, because it's the most expensive part of the multi-million dollar piece of equipment.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So, okay, now here's one. Stopping movement by pit or tip. So, yeah.
Well, tip, this is not a cow them. In the Midwest. You can't just tip them over. But
the same principles actually are at work. Both of these methods require prior planning and a rudimentary understanding of funneling tactics, the process of sending your opposition down a route that you want them to go. Tank pits are highly effective against all forms of armored vehicles. It is exactly what it sounds like. A pit dug with the intended path in the intended path of the vehicle is deep enough to put the vehicle at an angle that it can't maneuver out of. Pits covered with plywood and camouflage to match the surrounding area. A pit for an MRAP, now write this down, grab a pencil, needs to be about 4 feet deep, 6 feet long, and as wide as it can be made across the intended path. Okay, there you go. So, do you have any questions, Steve?
That seems like a really shallow pit for something as large as an MRAP, but okay.
Well, you got to remember, you're digging it yourself, probably by, you know, possibly by hand. It just has to be deep enough that it can't maneuver out of. So, yeah, I like the idea of being 20 feet deep and spikes at the bottom and like alligators, but that's probably not going to be realistic. Remember, we only have $50 to work with.
Sharks.
With lasers. Yeah.
Yep, laser sharks.
Okay, Molotov cocktails. Let's see. Yeah. concluding remarks. Let's see. It's important to understand what a Molotov cocktail will not do. It will not blow up an armored vehicle. The set of circumstances required for an explosion to occur is so unlikely it isn't worth spending time addressing. It will not injure the occupants in most instances. So, could obscure visibility quite well, though. So, anyway, there's a few tips, and that's, you know, care of the anti-media. This was an article from last year. So I think that's some, you know, some timeless information. And in case you, I mean, we do have Fiend listeners all over the world. You may be, there may be some horrible dictator that's going to use this against you somewhere.
I would like to think that the school board would send, like, the, like, alcoholic gym teacher who also taught health that I had in high school to go drive the MRAP into town. And that he would be good and tanked, and that would make it really easier, and he would just go right into my tank pit.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, would they, you know, would he use that to look for truants, perhaps? Or,
Yeah, that's what, that's probably what they need the MRAPs for, because yeah. we're going into a truant's cave. I think that's what you do. You escape school, then you go to a cave.
Well, now, I gotta say, like,
where,
okay,
you learn degeneracy.
Mine resistance, okay?
Yeah, so, mine resistance.
Fiend phone.
A little bit overkill, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's Michael. Michael's joining us.
Furries. You know what furry stands for?
Remind us.
Fiend phone, unnecessary random re-education interruption exigency system. Or service.
Boom!
Because it is a service.
Boom!
It's part of Fiend phone. You know, the new version of Fiend phone is going to have GPS tracking. So, like, I won't have to write you guys before a show and say, check in, please. I'll just know where you are all the time.
Right, and you could send a Fiend phone... a drone running Fiend phone to just our coordinates.
No, it's a shock collar.
It's a shock collar.
You have to wear it to do the show 24/7.
That's not, I don't know. You know, I think the pay would have to get a little better before I'd consent to something like that.
But so
I'm not saying I wouldn't do it for a price, but
I had another disclaimer on your how to disable an MRAP. That's only if you're in a Wolverines kind of situation, you know, where the Cubans have parachuted into your neighborhood.
You don't think this would work in an urban environment?
Yeah, any environment. Well, but yeah, it has to be the Cubans or the North Koreans. You don't do this to Americans; they're patriots.
Oh, of course, right. That's what I said. Like Los Angeles school board. I think I specified. So yeah, some kind of North Korean
Los Angeles school board. Yeah,
some
communist dictatorship. Yeah,
yeah. Something horrible and oppressive, and there's, you know, no accountability or other way to check them.
So I can't believe you guys just blew through David Bowie died. I don't usually get bummed out at celebrity deaths, but
I'm very bummed out.
I'm very bummed out.
I thought about mentioning it, but I'm not ready to make jokes about it. It's too heavy.
Steve thought he was already dead. Isn't that the joke about Iggy Pop in Trainspotting?
Oh, come on,
he's still alive.
Man. I was hoping we could get some David Bowie to replace our usual bumper music at the end of the show.
Dean and some of
I could play some,
friends.
But that'd be predictable.
Yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Freedom Fiends. We are back for the final segment, Redemption in the Third Act. I'm Jim Babb with Steve Miller, and we got Michael W. Dean
eating snacks. So we're doing the speed round, the shooting speed round. Since we like shooting, we like guns. We're doing the shooting speed round here, where you're just going to read headlines and we're going to comment on them.
One All right, joke, George W. possible. Bush could be key to stopping Donald Trump, Republican says.
They're going to drop him on Donald Trump?
I don't know. Former South Carolina Republican, blah, 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 said the president should get out on the trail. So I think this is like in forest fires, it's called like you light a backfire.
Yeah.
Where you just like.
So they're going to light
you
bush
drop
on fire?
In and just destroy the fuel and hope the fire burns itself out. Is that maybe that's what the statement is?
All right. Here's one. Call for supplies as Oregon standoff enters second week. Amon Bundy's mother, Carol Bundy, sent an email to supporters asking him to send her son's group a list of 80 items, including sleeping bags, wool socks, cigarettes, toiletries, food, coffee, and French vanilla creamer. You know, I think if you have an addiction to cigarettes, you're not really a very good prepper because you're already like, you're going to need something other than what you need. Don't you think so?
True. And it's same with vanilla creamer. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to really survive, like, you know, when the blank hits the fan. If you're like, you know, like worried about your French vanilla creamer stash.
Yeah, you're going to be going through like the landfill and finding coffee grounds and trying to make some caffeine out of that. Yeah. If you're lucky.
Hey, let's just hope there's coffee after the, you know, whatever apocalypse is headed. I think coffee will survive it.
Well, you know, in Boston Tea Party's book on prepping, Surviving Y2K, he recommends stockpiling things to sell and trade, like coffee and liquor.
It's always a good idea to have coffee and liquor and some silver and some ammo and, you know, whatever else you
can. I think liquor would be more tradable than silver.
Well, it has, you can use it to, as like an antiseptic.
Yeah.
Okay. It has medicinal properties. It's portable. You can transport it. It can be fuel. It can be a painkiller. It can be a boredom reducer.
Steve, in your neighborhood, what would you rather have stockpiled for the apocalypse? Silver or crack? What would get you further?
Rock. Yeah. Because you'll get more trade value out of it, and the people you'll be able to trade rock with will be way more desperate, and you'll be able to just absolutely rip their faces off in getting anything you need for the happening.
Yeah,
if you have rock stockpiled,
right? They'll trade you their family members, and then you can use them to like carry your stuff out on the convoy.
as
people flee to New Jersey,
scrap metal
over the bridge like refugees. So, hey, how about this headline? I got one. Britain told horse penis remark could have led to war between Kyrgyzstan and UK. Does that make any sense?
It's not much crazier than what started World War One, shooting one guy.
Yeah, this guy, Michael McPhee, now deported from Kyrgyzstan, says police told him sausage comparison could have sparked conflict. Now, we say that's crazy, but wasn't that Hillary's explanation for Benghazi was
schlonged?
It was like somebody's blog post from like 2 years earlier or something stupid.
Oh,
I don't know.
Hillary Clinton denounces the tyranny of the selfie. She doesn't like people posing with her for selfies. Man, she's not like ready to lead America then.
Nope.
Because America is all about the selfie. That's like pretty much kids do now is use advanced technology to take pictures of themselves. That's like the only marketable skill most of them have.
And they're junk. They like taking pictures of their junk.
Yeah.
Right. Hillary, they're junk, whatever. Now, here's a headline. I didn't have time to read the article, but meet the Texas teen feminist whose body hair set Twitter on fire.
Ew.
Now, is this, Steve, did Twitter get set on fire? You're their social media expert here.
They lit a backfire. They gave George W. Bush a Twitter account.
All right. Hey, Liberty State reps making headlines for bills to end prohibition of prostitution, drinking under 21, and cannabis.
With all the money that they're making on taxing weed, they're going to start trying to decrim everything and tax it.
It's like the Uber for prostitution.
Yeah. Hey,
I love
note
it.
Uber. To self, Uber for prostitution.
Uber.
You could see where all the available drivers are in the neighborhood and how long it would take to get to you.
Yeah. You could swipe left or right on their picture.
What's going on right now? And there could be like a community tabs.
It could be called Find Her.
Fender.